Whoa, wait a minute, huh? Hold up, what? Oh, okay. Did we just lose the f***ing Canucks?
You're listening to Halford and Brough.
Playing to the goal center in front, they score! Niels Höglander!
I thought he played great. I think that was the plan. We let him get a lot of work tonight.
For a game that didn't mean much,
I was joking. I...
You have holidays in 2 days.
I mean, the sport here in the Canadian market's been amazing, and we're glad to have playoff hockey back at Rogers.
Good morning, Vancouver 601 on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is Halford. It is Brough. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Kintech Studios, beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
A-Dog, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Laddie, good morning to you as well.
Hello, hello.
Halford and Brough of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour one of the program. Hour one is brought to you by North Star Metal Recycling. Vancouver's premier metal recycler pays the highest prices on scrap metal. North Star Metal Recycling, they recycle, you get paid. You can visit them at 1170 Powell Street in Vancouver. Take it away, Jason.
We are coming to you live from the Kintech studio, Kintech Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sorfeet, what are you waiting for?
Kintech, that's what you're waiting for. We have a lot to get into on the show today. We are now one game away from the Vancouver Canucks ending their regular season and being on the way to the playoffs. Big win last night over the Calgary Flames. We have a lot to get into in terms of guests as well. Our guest list begins at 6:30. Jeff Merrick, host of the 32 Thoughts podcast and the Jeff Merrick Show, will join us. We know all the playoff matchups in the Eastern Conference. We don't know all of them in the West yet, but we'll get to all that with Jeff at 6:30. 7 o'clock, Luke Gazdick is going to join the program, former NHLer, now a Sportsnet NHL analyst. Same story there. We'll break down last night's game, Canucks-Flames 4-1 victory for the Canucks. We'll talk about the Eastern Conference playoffs, the Western Conference playoffs, everything that's going on as we get down to the short strokes of the NHL regular season. 8 o'clock, first-time guest on the program, Spence Checkets is going to join us from ESPN 700 Sports Radio in Utah.
Okay, Salt Lake City. Are they getting a team?
They are indeed. What was that accent? What was that? Was that a Salt Lake accent?
No, I was just going. Oh.
Some kind of accent.
So Spence Checkets is a sports radio host in Utah. His father is one of the more famous sports executives over the last few decades, Dave Checkets. He's a Utah guy. He used to own the St. Louis Blues. He was a high-ranking executive with the Knicks and Rangers as well. So Spence has a very interesting outlook on the National Hockey League going to Salt Lake City. So we'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. We are also giving away a $100 gift card to Bridge Brewing. Best What We Learned Today gets a $100 gift card for some delicious primetime beer from Bridge Brewing. Get them in now. Start early. Dunbar Lumber text line is 650-650. Hashtag it WWL and put a beer emoji into your text. You will be entered into the grand prize contest for a $100 gift card to Bridge Brewing. Working in reverse on the guest list. 8 o'clock, it is Spence Checkets from Utah. 7 o'clock, Luke Gazdick. 6:30, Jeff Merrick. That's what's happening on the program today. Laddie, let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No.
What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
What Happened is brought to you by the BC Construction Safety Alliance, making safety simpler by giving construction companies the best in tools, resources, and safety training. Visit them online at bccsa.ca. Thatcher Demko, in his return to the lineup, made 39 saves. The Vancouver Canucks clinched the Pacific Division for the first time in their history with a 4-1 win over the Calgary Flames at Rogers Arena on Tuesday night. Myers, goal and an assist. JT Miller, goal late. The Canucks now have points in four straight, and it's their first division title of any kind, Pacific or otherwise, since 2013. What a night at Rogers Arena.
I'm looking back on the Canucks seasons. I've got them all here, and they had that run where they won the Northwest, like, I don't know, like 7 of 8 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were times when they were the only good team in that division. And it was still impressive. They won back-to-back President's Trophies, went to the Stanley Cup Final. But since those days of winning the division, it has been very, very depressing, very, very difficult to be a Canucks fan at times. Frankly, it's looked like it's been very difficult to be a member of the Vancouver Canucks, mm-hmm. the way they played and the way they looked at times. And this season has been, for me, completely unexpected. I thought they might have a chance of making the playoffs, but I think we'd all, you know, I was, and I think most people were. They were like, well, maybe they can squeak into the wild card, because mm-hmm. you looked at the division and you went, beginning of the season, right? We didn't know how anything was going to work out with the Canucks. We knew Tocchet had come in here. We knew he was preaching pressure meets pressure, but we were all freaking out about the first few games and hoping sure. like that was our goal. Like, just don't bury yourself again. Just do not bury yourself. We weren't setting a goal of winning the division and even having a chance at winning the conference and being in the race for the President's Trophy the whole time. And we were looking at the division and we were going, okay, well, I mean, the Oilers are probably going to take one of the three spots. Vegas just won the Stanley Cup. They seem good. And LA just, you know, they've been there and they just added Dubois. Mm-hmm. So I think most of us were probably like, well, maybe the Central will be kind of weak and the Canucks will be able to sneak in there as a wild card. And, you know, I know the guys were at the intermission, Sat, Nymack, and Murph were talking about they were giving words to describe the season, like one word to describe the season. And I can't remember all the words they came up with, but
a lot of R words.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, IMAX said that and he should have, but yeah, there are some R words. But if I was going to add mine, I'd add respect. Like, the Canucks brought respect back.
It's another R word.
To the team and the brand and the culture, you know, and I think, again, I don't want to speak for anyone, but for me, in the last few years, I did not have a lot of respect for the way the Canucks played. Yeah, they had some good individual performances. Yeah, once in a while you'd see the promise of the core, but they did not play a brand of hockey that garnered respect. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fair to say. They were not good defensively. They were not responsible. They were definitely not hard to play against. And I think that's changed this year. And you have to credit the new management group. You obviously have to credit the head coach and Rick Tocchet. But when all's said and done, yeah, you have to put the right people in charge. Right? That's obviously very important, and it starts there. But the players have to do it. And the leadership group has to get everyone on board with it, and then they have to put the work in. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in a long time, yeah, we had the Bruce Boudreau era that, you know, Bruce, there it is. There was the bubble. But for the first time in a long, long time, you know, I mean, this might sound high and mighty media, but like, I respected the way the Canucks played.
Well, you know, you want to talk about respect, and it's an interesting one. I think there's a lot of validity to what you're saying here, but go back. I just went back and looked at the odds from a couple different sports books going back to the beginning of October. So right when the season started, and what the odds were just to win the Pacific Division, which the Canucks did last night with a 50-win campaign and cementing it with a win over, nonetheless, a Pacific Division rival in the Calgary Flames. The Canucks had the fifth longest odds out of any of the teams in the Pacific Division. So at the beginning of this year, odds makers had Edmonton, Vegas, Los Angeles, Calgary, and Seattle as more likely favorites to win the division than the Vancouver Canucks. It was the Vancouver Canucks, and then the real long shots, obviously, were San Jose and Anaheim, which mm-hmm. were much longer than the Canucks. But I still go back to that point. They were not getting a lot of respect from anybody, right? Whether they respected themselves or not, or whether the local media respected them. The people that are paid to put together the odds on who's going to do this did not see much from this team. To do what they did is maybe one of the biggest surprises, if not the biggest surprises, in the NHL this season. And I know the regular season is not done. I know they still have a game left. And I know last night's game has a lot of talking points coming off of it. But I do think it's important to note that it was sort of a coronation last night because it was the final home game of the season. The team awards were given out. You kind of got the feeling that that was the end of the regular season right there.
And I think a lot of things came together for the team last night against the Calgary Flames. So let's talk about the game last night. The Canucks still don't know who they're going to meet in the first round. It's probably going to be Nashville, but there's also a chance it could be LA, or even a very small chance, I suppose, it could be Vegas. We'll know more tonight when Dallas hosts the St. Louis Blues. But, you know, and then that brings Thursday into discussion. What kind of lineup is Rick Tocchet going to bring to Winnipeg? You know, could they just send the Abbotsford Canucks? I don't know. They have an airport in Abbotsford, so they could just go Abbey to Winnipeg. What is it? What's the, you know, YVR? What is it? YXX? Is that Abbotsford?
I don't think it's YXX.
I think it might be. Anyway, we'll talk about this later. Back to last night's game.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah, YXX.
YXX.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sounds triple rated.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the most hardcore triple, airport.
What goes down at that airport?
Triple rated.
Yo, welcome to YXX.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the most hardcore airport.
Welcome to YXX. You get punched in the face.
Yeah, that's right.
Back to last night's game. Lots to like in the opening period, really, as the Canucks jumped out to a 2-0 lead. The first goal came 12 minutes into the first. Tyler Myers scored shorthanded after taking really a smart, excellent cross-ice pass from Teddy Bluger. Is Myers playing his best hockey as a Canuck right now?
He's climbing the all-time leaders among defensemen with shorthanded goals in Canucks history. I think he's third now all-time.
That's a very...
Murph told him it after the game, and very Myers interesting was like, list. Cool.
Yeah, his game is just in a good and balanced spot right now. Seems like he's getting at least a couple of solid shots each game, and he really ripped that one past Markey. Vancouver's second goal was beauty, and it was great to see, and we need to see more goals like it from that line. Petey makes a neat pass to Mikheyev in the neutral zone. Mikheyev turns on the afterburners, gains the zone, makes a great pass back to Petey, who, and this is the key part of this whole play, just very confidently slides it across to Hoglander to bang it into the open net. A great play, really, from one end of the ice to the other, with the kind of deceptiveness that Petey can bring when he's confident and feeling it. I think that's it. I was trying to figure out a word. I'm like, it's not like, you know, fancy would be too lame a word for it. But like he's when he's on his game, he's deceptive because he's not going to blow you away with his speed or his power. But he is going to do things out there that tricks the other team. And they're like, okay, well, Petey's probably going to shoot here. And he's like, no. Slides it across to Hoglander. How many goals is that for Hoglander? 24?
Yep.
My God. What a season he's having. Speaking of great seasons, the Canucks made it 3-0 in the second when Dakota Joshua got out on a 2-on-1 with Lindholm. And Dakota Joshua selfishly shot it past Markstrom. Poor Lindholm. He's like, give me the pass. I need it.
Okay.
Good for Joshua.
It was 18 on the year for Joshua.
18th goal of the season. And shout out again to Tyler Myers, who started the breakout by winning a battle in the corner and getting the puck going in the right direction. I told you his game was in a good spot right now. Very balanced.
Yes.
He's not having to play 21 minutes a night. So I think that probably helps as well. He was the second star last night. Thatcher Demko, of course, was the first star, and the Flames did spoil Demko's shutout in the third. But JT Miller, the MVP, the most exciting player, according to the fans, put the game away with his 37th of the season on really yet another sweet shot to beat Markey. Myers, Joshua, and Miller all beat Markey cleanly. The kids call it a snipe show.
Yeah, and that's
important. That's what it was last night. It was a snipe show at Rogers Arena.
Yes, I don't think the kids are saying that
very
anymore.
Very timely reference, snipes. But which is important, though.
Because then they all had a celly.
Yeah, the kids still call them cellies. It's important that they were able to snipe it past Markstrom. And look, all joking aside, I don't think you're going to get those clean of looks in the playoffs, but this is a team that over the last few weeks we've talked about their inability to hit the net, their inability to finish at times. So it was nice to see on that front. There's two clips from Talk It that we want to play. The first is with regards to the line combinations. This has been a topic of conversation on the Halford and Bruff Show for what feels like 2.5-3 months, but it's an important one because the Canucks now just have one regular season game remaining in Winnipeg on Thursday before they go to the playoffs. So Tuckett was asked, hey, are these lines that we're currently seeing, are they the ones that we're going to see in the playoffs? And this is what Rick Tuckett had to say post-game about his forward lines after the Calgary game going into the Winnipeg game on Thursday.
You know, talk to the group, talk to the trainers, see who's banged up. There's a lot of factors involved, and we can't make them in 5 minutes, but we're gonna have to do some research and figure the best way to handle this. But yeah, you always want to win every game, but you also, there's precautionary things too.
I mean, that was the wrong clip, but that's fine. So that was the clip pertaining to what lineup is gonna play in Winnipeg.
Laddie always looks so aggrieved when he plays the wrong clip.
Well, he gives me an order at the start of the show.
Oh, and it's his fault.
Deviates from the order.
It says in the text thread, this is the clip about the forward lines in brackets.
Yeah.
Parentheses, they call them sometimes. But that doesn't matter. So the lineup...
Don't blame others. Just we're holding you accountable. We've got a culture here. There's been a culture change here at Sportsnet 650.
Need more of a culture change.
We're going to... Well, all right. Some guys have to leave. Some guys have to go.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to right our wrongs. We're going to play the Talk It clip now about the forward lines as it pertains to what happened last night in Calgary and what the forward lines will look like going into the playoffs.
Probably not. I mean, maybe a tweak here and there, but this is where we're going with. We've had enough times of experimenting and trying to figure a few things out, but I think this is where we're going to go with. Maybe there might be a switch here and there, don't get me wrong, but so far, I think we're going to stick with this way.
So I think this is something that we talked about yesterday.
I like it.
Yeah, it's the right move.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, far be it
spread
from,
it out.
Far be it from me, an armchair analyst, to give my nod of approval, be like, you guys can do this now, please go ahead. But
Tuckett was kind of saying, like, he was like, I reserve the right to make changes. I'm like, yep, you're the coach.
But he didn't even say that. He just said there might be little tweaks. Like, I think this is how... Maybe he didn't necessarily envision it going, because I don't think that the Lindholm thing has worked out like gangbusters.
I think it is.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I think in a dream world, dream scenario is Lindholm bolsters your top six.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
true.
Replace Bluger as your 3C because Bluger was fine. Because
that's where he started. Lindholm started, right?
I think the idea was he's a Swiss Army knife or a Swedish Army knife, I suppose, and he's going to be able to do a variety of different things in our top six. We can bounce him out to the wing. We can play him with Petey. Have the Trey Kroner line with him and Petey and Hoglander, and none of it worked. So this is a 1B or a 2A where it's like, okay, well, this still gives us great depth down the middle, right? If you're going to go Pettersson, Miller, Lindholm, there's a lot of teams, including the Nashville Predators, that would be clamoring for that kind of depth down the middle.
Even the fourth line. Well, you got two centers down there with Lafferty and Teddy Bluger and Vasily Podkolzin. Listen, it's not perfect, and you'd like to see a little bit more scoring, for example, from Ilya Mikheyev on that line, but he did make a nice play. Thought he played well last night. He made a nice play on the Hoglander goal. He was very active on that goal. So it's not perfect overall, but I got to say that I couldn't feel much better about the Canucks and the way the lineup looks heading into the playoffs. I mean,
they're healthy.
Listen, like they're Demp healthy.
Goes back.
They're
line
healthy.
Seem balanced.
I like that Garland and Joshua are on a separate line from Miller and Pettersson, who might have been okay for a bit, but I think if you have that line of Lindholm, Garland, and Joshua performing well at 5-on-5, and also, two of those guys are going to be a pretty big part of the penalty kill with Lindholm and Joshua, and then you get more plays like that Pettersson line had last night. It doesn't even have to be, throughout the game you're making those spectacular plays, but you have to take advantage of the skill on that line, and you have to score goals that skilled players can score. Mm-hmm. And that was a perfect example. JT Miller, last night,
for me, it was kind of like a microcosm of the Canucks season, because they got scoring from the guys that they expect to get scoring from, a guy like JT Miller, and then they also got scoring from a defenseman. Like, their defenseman scoring has been way up this year. Mm-hmm. Tyler Myers scores, Dakota Joshua scores, and they get a good defensive performance once again, and really, you know, actually, like, I know Calgary had the score effects push at the end, but I thought they were pretty good defensively. And then when they weren't, Thatcher Demko was there for you. Like, okay. You have to be feeling good about this team right now.
So there is still one game remaining in the regular season, and a lot of people are texting into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650, including all of our longshoremen currently waiting on Franklin Street for their shift to begin. They want to know the future, meaning who are the Canucks going to play and what is at stake in this final game in Winnipeg. So, Greg, let's try this again. Let's play the clip about what Tocchet plans to do lineup-wise going into Thursday's regular season finale in Winnipeg against the Jets.
Talk to the group, talk to the trainers, see who's banged up. There's a lot of factors involved, and, we can't make them in 5 minutes, but we're going to have to do some research and figure the best way to handle this. But, yeah. You always want to win every game, but there's precautionary things too.
You always want to win every game, but there's precautionary things too. Translation: I'm not giving you guys anything. Please let me go home. That was Rick Tocchet's basis. That was the explanation. The Canucks are currently set to face the Nashville Predators. If they finish atop the Pacific Division, which they have already clinched, and they finish second in the Western Conference. And for that to happen, Dallas would need to get just a single solitary point against St. Louis tonight. Then the Canucks would face Nashville. But, as you mentioned earlier, there's still the very finite possibility that they could play LA or they could play the Vegas Golden Knights, right? There's a variety of things that could still happen. Right now, it's most likely that they'll play Nashville, but we can't pencil any of that in yet because, as we saw last night in the Eastern Conference, things can kind of change pretty quick. Now, as it pertains to the Vancouver Canucks lineup, they don't have the cap space or the recalls left to do what you were suggesting about flying the entire Abbotsford Canucks team to Winnipeg. Yeah, they can't do it.
I was wondering how Tristan Nielsen would match up against Scheifele.
You're going to have to keep wondering because Tristan Nielsen will not be on that trip to Winnipeg. As Sat and Dan explained in the post-game show following last night's 4-1 win over Calgary, there's basically four guys that they can rest from the active roster, and that's it. Because I don't know
better if one of them better be Quinn Hughes.
Right.
And JT Miller. I don't even want Quinn Hughes thinking about going away. I don't want him leaving his house.
Don't go to the airport.
Until the playoffs start. I will allow him to go to practice.
Even that.
But if you go to Winnipeg, like, they've got those big mosquitoes there.
It's true.
He could get bitten.
Yep. You don't want him to go. He could get malaria. That's how you get him. It's from mosquitoes. And,
you got to think his mood is pretty high right now. You put him in Winnipeg, maybe that mood just, goes right down.
It's true. Although, I do wonder if his mood was sullied yesterday because he didn't get team MVP.
Can you imagine?
Could you imagine?
If this tears apart the Vancouver Canucks season.
Even Miller just aren't speaking anymore.
Yeah, and Quinn Hughes is like, wow, I thought you were a little more selfless than that.
We do need to talk about this very briefly, as the Canucks did give out their team awards last night. So JT Miller got the haul. He won team MVP and most exciting player. Now, a reminder, these are voted on by fans.
Right.
But I don't know if that's a bigger slap in the face. It remains to be seen.
I think it's more a positive for what JT Miller has done this season.
Quinn Hughes did win best defenseman. So good on the voters for getting that one right.
Imagine you didn't win that one.
Yeah, but I was actually... I
mean, the only season the Canucks have a Norris Trophy winning defenseman, and they're like, yeah, I don't know if he's the MVP, though.
For the first time in a long time, I was actually surprised by the team awards because I just assumed that Quinn Hughes was going to win MVP. Mm. But JT Miller got it. Now, again, if it's not...
JT Miller's the people's hero, man.
If it's not abundantly clear, I'm doing
he's
all
a
this...
He's a populist leader.
I'm trying to do this very tongue-in-cheek, and some people, that's just going to sail right over your head, and that's... That's on me. That is on me. But JT Miller wins MVP and most exciting. Quinn Hughes wins best D-man. I have issue with Dakota Joshua winning the Unsung Hero Award for the second consecutive year.
Yeah, he's quite sung at this point.
If you win an award, I think you are thereby sung. Now, I know Yannick Hansen won the Unsung Hero Award three times, so there's a precedence here. But Now, there's a bigger thing at stake here.
I think they should hold this over him during contract negotiations and just be like, listen, they say you're the unsung hero here. Would an unsung hero go for maximum amount of money in a contract negotiation, or would he be more of a team guy?
Are you going to be an unsung hero?
Oh, is it about you now? Is it about you, Dakota Joshua, now?
Why don't you act like an unsung hero?
Yeah.
Here's $2 million.
Okay, we got a lot more to get to on the program. Coming up, Jeff Merrick, 32 Thoughts and the Jeff Merrick Show is going to join us. We will get into everything that happened in the Eastern Conference last night. It was wild. It was wacky. Detroit hates John Tortorella. We'll get into all of it coming up next on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
Through center, it's Oshie. Oshie working wide. Fires, he scores!
I get info on the Detroit game right after they score their empty netter. I think it happened pretty close together. But I was pulling him. I'm pulling him. And that was the right time to pull him. Didn't know anything was going on with Detroit at that time. But immediately after that, our video guys told us that Detroit just went to overtime.
6:32 on a Wednesday, the day after a wild, wild night in the Eastern Conference. You're listening to the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour one of the program. Jeff Merrick, host of the Jeff Merrick Show and the 32 Thoughts podcast, is going to join us in just a moment here. Hour one is brought to you by North Star Metal Recycling. Vancouver's premier metal recycler pays the highest prices on scrap metal. North Star Metal Recycling, they recycle, you get paid. Visit them at 1170 Powell Street in Vancouver. If you missed it last night, TJ Oshie shot the puck into an empty net and in the process scored one of the more improbable game-winning goals in recent NHL history. The goal sent the Washington Capitals to the playoffs. It also eliminated the Detroit Red Wings, who almost while Oshie was scoring into the empty net had heroics of their own. Because with 3.3 seconds left in their game against Montreal, Detroit, thanks to David Perron, scored to send the game into overtime. By doing that, Detroit eliminated Philadelphia. Philadelphia then unknowingly basically eliminated Detroit by pulling their goalie and allowing the Washington Capitals to score and win the game 2-1 in regulation. It's pretty crazy. I tried to break it all down. Let's get a better and more professional guy to break it down even further. Joining us now, Jeff Merrick here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
I am well. I remember last year when we talked all about that that Pittsburgh Penguins game against the Chicago Blackhawks that seemed like a nothing game down the stretch and set everything up for the playoffs. I will look back at yesterday and think one thing. 9:34 Eastern. That's when it all happened. Everything you just mentioned all sort of slammed together. David Perron scoring with 5 seconds left in that game to tie things up. John Tortorella pulling the goaltender. TJ Oshie scoring. We don't necessarily look for a time stamp when everything changed, but everything got cemented at one very specific time, 9:34 Eastern yesterday.
I get, especially online, why Red Wings fans are big mad, but they have no reason to be mad at John Tortorella, right?
No. I don't think for one second John Tortorella cared about what was going to happen to the Detroit Red Wings.
Right.
Like, do you think that John Tortorella for one second cares about eliminating the Detroit Red Wings or gifting the Washington Capitals a playoff? No, he was at that moment. Now, we can have the argument about, you know, did he need to be aware, you know, the exact second when David Perron tied the game and this thing went into overtime? We can have that discussion about how much he wanted to be informed. But John Tortorella clearly had his game plan. That would have been, by the way, that would have been a conversation, you know, not just with him and the coaching staff, but also, you know, a strategy put together, you know, what's the right time to do with it for in this situation. That is a Tortorella, Daniel Briere, Keith Jones conversation. I would imagine that one's not made in a vacuum. Red Wings fans can be as upset as they want. They were tucked into a playoff spot and then they went into a swoon. Philadelphia Flyers fans, and they seem kind of split on this one, but if Flyers fans were upset about what happened yesterday, I would say that they lost their playoff spot in two particular spots, the game against Columbus and the game against Montreal, the two games where they got the barn doors blown open wide on them. Those were the games that Flyers fans should be upset about. Those are the games that ended their playoff chances as we look back now.
So before we get into some of these other teams, the Washington Capitals, for the youngs out there that don't remember way back in the day, they are nowhere close to one of the worst teams to make the playoffs. I remember the 87-88 Toronto Maple Leafs had a sterling record of 21-49-10 and still got to go to the playoffs. They were promptly dispatched in the opening round.
Such a good division, the old Norris division.
However,
hang on. Yes. Can we pause for one second? I just want to just give your listeners some historical context. That was the Norris division, and that was a time where if you had 65 points, you made the playoffs in the Norris division. Mm-hmm, It was bruisers. Everybody had about, five or six gorillas on the bench, and the games took 3.5 hours. That's what that division was all about.
So historically,
it was beautiful.
Yeah, historically, this Capitals team is nowhere near that bad. However, with a -37 goal differential, they are, in terms of goal differential, one of the worst teams to make the playoffs in recent memory. How much of a shot do you give them to do anything, or is making the playoffs just the accomplishment that they're going to get this season?
Okay, well, let's see here. The Rangers have better goaltending. They have a better blue line. They have better forwards. They have better center depth. They have an experienced coach who's won the Stanley Cup before. This one looks like, if you're going to pick any series to go for, it's probably this one. But weird things happen in the playoffs. And I'll give you another Washington Capitals example. I think it was 2010 when the Capitals played the Montreal Canadiens in the opening round. Remember that? And it was like, we were all saying, it's going to be Washington in three. Right? It's going to be Washington in three games. They're not even going to bother to play the fourth. And all of a sudden, Yaroslav Halak turned into the ghost of Jacques Plante. And Mike Camilleri couldn't stop playing great. Kirk Muller drawing up amazing, power plays on the bench. And all of a sudden, the Capitals get upset. So on paper, there's no way the Washington Capitals should be in the same rink. I do get that, we're at the end of our rope here and, going on fumes and climb the top of the mountain and, we don't have any energy left, but weird things happen in the playoffs, but there's about zero way I'm going to pick the Washington Capitals against the New York Rangers. Not a chance.
God, that was a crazy time when the Capitals got upset, because didn't Halak go on? They upset the Penguins in the next round, didn't they? Like
They could not stop winning.
Yeah.
It was remarkable. And everyone, remember there was Alan Walsh got in some trouble online by tweeting, because he obviously was supporting his client Yaroslav Halak to the chagrin of Carey Price, and pointing out how it was the right decision to go with Yaroslav Halak. So that was that sidebar drama. And all Halak did was just, all of a sudden Yaroslav Halak has a part-time job as a wall, and he just stopped everything. That was a glorious time. That was, all capped off with, the Blackhawks winning their first Stanley Cup in 1961. But to me, that Montreal run was special. We think about, rinks that we want to see in the playoffs again. Detroit, we haven't seen playoffs in this brand new barn, and Montreal as well. There's a couple of rinks out there that you really want to see in the postseason. But yeah, that was a pretty special time back in 2010.
Well, speaking of good atmosphere, it's usually a good atmosphere when the Leafs and the Bruins play each other in the playoffs.
Yeah.
How are Leafs fans feeling about drawing the Boston Bruins?
Hockey PTSD. Like, I think everyone in Toronto still has, the 4-1 memories. It was 4-1 is still burned in every Toronto Maple Leafs fan memory and DNA at this point. But I'll tell you what, if I'm a Maple Leafs fan, I'd rather play Boston than Florida. I don't think the Maple Leafs match up well against Florida at all. I think Boston's a much better matchup for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Again, not saying they're going to win this thing, but, I think if you would have said to a Maple Leafs fan last season, hey, you're going to draw the Boston Bruins next year in the opening round, and both Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci would have retired by then, and they wouldn't have made any significant moves to help the roster, Leafs fans probably would have said, yeah, you know what? Give me some of that.
Well, I'm just wondering if there's, quote-unquote, slay the dragon potential for the Leafs here because, you know, you all know the reference I'm talking about because the Canucks took on the Blackhawks for a third straight year, so it won't be straight years for the Leafs in Boston. But, you know, that Chicago team was still good, but it was weakened compared to the previous two. So, and I think the Bruins are weakened, especially without Patrice Bergeron. So maybe this is an opportunity for the Leafs to slay their own dragon.
I think of the Washington Capitals. And in 2018, when they won the Stanley Cup, going along the way, what was the most important series for the Washington Capitals?
Beating Pittsburgh, right?
Beating Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, that was it. That was the mental hurdle, right? And, you know, when that Ottawa Senators team was really good as well, and, you know, we saw, you know, Joe Nieuwendyk of the Maple Leafs throwing knuckleballs through Patrick Lalime's pads, you know, we all said to ourselves, like, that is that mental hurdle that that excellent team just can't get past, and they never did. Now, not that I'm going to say that, you know, winning a Stanley Cup would have been hollow if they didn't beat the Maple Leafs along the way, but I kind of felt that about Ottawa. I kind of felt that way when the Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup and they didn't get a chance to knock off the Vegas Golden Knights along the way. Like that, you're so right about there are just some teams that mentally you need to get past and you need to get over to make, you know, whatever your journey is going to turn into complete. And I think you're right. For the Toronto Maple Leafs fans, that's a page that they haven't turned, and that is that proverbial dragon that they need to slay along the way.
We're speaking to Jeff Merrick, host of the Jeff Merrick Show and the 32 Thoughts podcast here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Jeff, I am very, very happy and very, very excited that the Eastern Conference shook out the way that it did. I think Boston-Toronto is going to be great. I think the best series of the round, though, may end up being the Battle of Florida between the Lightning and the Panthers. So this is the third time that they are going to meet in four seasons. But the big difference now between 2021 and 2022 is the inclusion of Matthew Tkachuk, who upon being traded to Tampa or to Florida, said, and I quote, "I hated Edmonton, but I hate Tampa more now." So this rivalry, which was already good, gets the sort of best powder keg guy for a playoff series in Matthew Tkachuk. I think this is going to be awesome, and I'm really happy that it shook out this way. How excited are you for the third installment of the Battle of Florida?
With you about 100%, and good on Matthew Tkachuk for raising even more interest here. There's one of the things that I love about Matthew Tkachuk is he understands that no one's going to get excited if you say, "I have a lot of respect for those guys on the other team. Ooh, I can't wait to go to watch a game where these two teams are going to respect each other." No thanks. Like, Matthew Tkachuk understands that this is professional sports and we're trying to sell hockey tickets here. First thing, and just as a sidebar, the fact that Florida is playing Tampa, I was looking at this last night, the fact that it's Florida and Tampa in the opening round here, is this like, when you look at the Eastern Conference, is this the easiest travel first round we've ever seen?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, like, there's not all anything.
All the travel for all these series is really, really easy. And all of it's made possible by the fact that the Florida Panthers are facing off against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I can't think of an opening round in one conference where the travel is as light as it is, which is great, which means ideally you're putting yourself in the best position to have the healthiest possible hockey players all through, you know, we cross our fingers that all series go seven games, but at least we're setting ourselves up for that. I think this one's going to be glorious. I think that, you know, we look at the Florida Panthers last year and what they were able to do 2 years ago, winning the President's Trophy, and like this is amongst the elite teams in the NHL, and at times they do look like the best team in the NHL. But there's always something in the back of my mind. And you're right. Like, I'm looking forward to this series more than any other series in the Eastern Conference. There's always just something in the back of my mind that always says to me, don't bet against Tampa. You're an idiot if you bet against Tampa. And I know they flamed out in the first round last year against the Maple Leafs. But isn't there something in the back of your mind that say, like, man, look at Florida. Look how deep they are. Look how excellent they are. Look how experienced they are. How well coached they are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is there not something in the back of your mind that says, bet against Tampa at your own peril? because between Andre Vasilevsky and Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point and Steven Stamkos and Anthony Cirelli and this is a team that, as we've said before, it's the fool that bets against Tampa. You guys feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I mean, eventually that wears out. Like, eventually the brand wears out, and I don't think it's worn out yet for Tampa Bay, but I think it's important that they do something in these playoffs. Otherwise, I think they might need to consider some fairly dramatic changes because, you know, and maybe that might include not bringing Steven Stamkos back, especially if it affects their, you know, especially if they want to do something else, say with their blue line. You know, you can't overpay a guy that's getting a lot older, even if he is Steven Stamkos and he's meant so much to your organization. What do you think that could mean? Let's say Tampa, you know, everyone says don't bet against them, and then they go out meekly to the Florida Panthers. Could we see some big changes in Tampa this offseason?
So what you're saying is Steven Stamkos is going to Salt Lake City. Is that the headline correct here? Everybody radio right now. Everybody.
Well, there's going to be – yeah, well, if Petey doesn't show up for the playoffs, we're going to have Petey going to the Salt Lake. Like, that's going to be – no, but, like, that's going to be the destination that everyone's like, well, what about Salt Lake? Like, because it's, yeah, like, it's open for – it's probably going to be open for business then.
Salt Lake will be very much open for business, and we expect them to be frisky in the free agent market. I think the Stamkos question is a legitimate one. And the thing about Stamkos is I always assume that he wants to go back because historically he's always wanted to go back. And I think he was, you know, very public about his, you know, lack of negotiations in the off season, with Tampa because he wants to go back. And I always assume that Tampa wants, you know, one of the greatest players the organization has ever had, wants him back in the mix. But I think what you're getting at here is it's exactly what Julien Brisebois is thinking. And that is, you know, we'll get to the Stamkos contract, you know, depending on what happens in the playoffs. And I think you're right. If it is a flameout in the first round, like, look, we all know how good Florida is. You know, as unlikely as I think it might be, I don't think anybody should really be shocked if they just, you know, rip through Tampa in four or five games. And that would make, you know, two first-round exits in a row for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And it's at that point where you really got to say, okay, is it there anymore the way we're used to? I think there'll be a lot of positions that are questioned and a lot of players that are questioned. I think at that point, you know, Julien Brisebois probably has to get to work. Now, if they do bow out in the first round, because I think we've all played the same game, and that is, okay, so which is the one piece that Tampa could absolutely not afford to remove? Like, there's always that one last little piece when you have a successful team and the salary cap necessitates you're going to get rid of players. Who was that guy? I always thought that it was Andre Palat. And if Tampa bows out this year in the first round, we look back in the last couple of years of first round exits, the answer is Ryan McDonagh. The one player that they could not replace. If they bow out this year, I think we'll look back on it with some, you know, some historical perspective and say that was the one final piece that they could not afford to let go of.
Jeff, one more before we let you go, and it pertains to sure. Salt Lake. So we later on in the show, we're going to have Spence Checkets on. He's a sports radio host for ESPN 700 in Utah, and he's talked quite a bit about the NHL coming to Salt Lake. I know on your show last week, you had on Gordon Monson from the Salt Lake Tribune. Yep. What did you learn about hockey in Utah and the NHL eventually going to Salt Lake?
First of all, smaller market than Arizona, and, you know, Brian Burke has openly, you know, wondered and mused about, you know, the logic in going from a six million population center to one that is 1.2 million. But a place where they do love their hockey, and historically it's been more of there's any CHL team there. We all remember, you know, the Salt Lake Eagles, and it's always kind of been considered a minor league hockey town, but the appetite is there. And I think the key to making all of this work is I don't necessarily know if the NHL wanted Salt Lake City more than they just wanted Ryan Smith in the mix.
Okay.
But to me, that's the one that I keep circling back. Like, doesn't it feel that way to you? I mean, for how long did we not even give Salt Lake City a consideration? But all of a sudden, Ryan Smith pops up on the radar and expresses some interest, the owner of the Utah Jazz, et cetera, wonderful and successful businessman. And all of a sudden, it became, we have to go to Salt Lake City. I can't help but wondering if this is just the NHL saying, Salt Lake City, okay, but we really want Ryan Smith in the mix here.
Jeff, this was great, man. Thanks for taking the time to do it. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the remaining games of the regular season when we do this again next week. It'll be playoff time.
Going to be an emotional one at the Mullet tonight. Do we see a cheerful farewell speech from someone?
Do you think it will be that emotional?
I think it's
like, not to be a jerk, but
I know. First of all, on the secondary market, like, ticket sales are like the numbers that people are getting for these tickets, because it's one of those I want to be there, I want to be there nights. I really do wonder if someone does, you know, much like we always think about Eddie Olchuk with the Winnipeg Jets. I wonder if there is a very emotional thank you here. And, like, look, I feel horrible for those fans. I feel bad for the 31 people that are without contracts with the Arizona Coyotes organization, the girls program, the Arizona Kachinas, the Junior Coyotes program, which is funded by the Arizona Coyotes. Like, there's a lot of things around the hockey team that you can't help but, you know, really feel for. And you hope that, A, the people will be all right. You hope that the youth hockey program will be fine.
Who's the longest tenured Coyote? Is it Lawson Krause? Maybe he'll be the guy that takes the mic. I have to think.
Not really that vocal. I'll tell you what, you know what would be interesting? Josh Doan.
Ah, yeah, good call.
Maybe Josh Doan. Who knows?
Okay, Jeff, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, boys. Talking 7 days.
Yeah, see you then. Bye. Jeff Merrick, host of the Jeff Merrick Show on the 32 Thoughts podcast here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. So, yeah, we're going to be talking a little Salt Lake and Utah later. Jeff brought up a good point. I do wonder if this is more about the owner. For those that don't know, Ryan Smith, the owner of the Utah Jazz, is kind of like the king of Utah. He's a very, 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 very prominent, very, very popular, and very, very wealthy man. And they've got big dreams and big hopes and big aspirations in Utah. Like, all due respect to the NHL, go just beyond getting a hockey team. Like, they've got their eyes on the Winter Olympics. They've got their eyes on a new building.
They probably like having a guy that also owns an NBA team.
Oh, totally.
You know, yeah. What are you guys talking about in your meetings? Do you have any good ideas?
Yeah. You must have money. You own an NBA team. Like, yeah, there's lots of it there.
Luke Gazdick is going to join us next. We'll talk more hockey. Vancouver Canucks have clinched the division. And it has been very unexpected, but very enjoyable season for the Vancouver Canucks. They've still got one game left, and it remains to be seen what kind of lineup they're going to bring to Winnipeg to play the Jets. We'll talk to Luke Gazdick coming up next. And then we got an open segment, so feel free to text in any questions or comments into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Dunbar Lumber, with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. Don't forget to get your What We Learns into the Dunbar Lumber text line. The best What We Learn will win a $100 gift certificate to Bridge Brewing, so include the beer emoji if you want to be entered into that contest. You're listening to the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
JanPro are the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, contact JanPro for a free, no-obligation quote. Visit them online at janpro.ca.